We've been looking at this whole concept of enmity or hostility. Last week we looked at it in the context of the ultimate cause of this hostility which exists between the church and the world. The ultimate cause being God. And you'll recall we looked at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, which states, in which God states, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed." God was talking to the devil there. And he said he was going to establish an enmity between the church and the world. And in this fashion, in establishing this enmity, the Lord literally calls out from the world a people for himself. But because God establishes this enmity, he must remove it. And he does that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15 speaks of, abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Today we talk about those laws of commandments contained in ordinances. Here is the near cause of this enmity or hostility, the close-up cause. What are these laws of commandments in ordinances? I think that's the first question we have to answer. What exactly are we talking about here? Well, first of all, you'll notice the words that Paul uses. Notice them carefully, if you would. He speaks of the law of commandments in ordinances or in decrees. The Apostle Paul is not speaking here of the moral law as summarized in the Ten Commandments. These moral laws are not abolished. The Ten Commandments are not abolished. Christ does not set aside the Ten Commandments. Too often in the church today, there are those who say that Christ does set aside the Ten Commandments. Those commandments were for an age gone by. They are no longer for us today. Well, I want to say as emphatically as I can that this is not what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 15. He speaks of the law, yes, but he speaks of the law of commandments as contained in ordinances. And this is something a little bit different. In order for us to establish this, I'd like us to look at a couple of other scriptures. Turn with me, if you would, please, first of all, to Romans chapter 3 and verse 31. We're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 2. So if you have a marker, keep it there or put your finger at that place. But turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 3 and verse 31. Here is the very last verse in the third chapter of Romans, which says, "Do we nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law." Now here in Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is most assuredly speaking of the moral law as summarized in the Ten Commandments. If you look in verse 20 of chapter 3, it says, "Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin." How do we understand sin? Through the moral law of God, through his righteous requirements. We're talking about the moral law as summarized in the Ten Commandments. And Paul says, very emphatically, do we nullify? The word there is abolish. It's the very same word which is used in Ephesians 2:15. Do we abolish? Do we set aside the moral law of God? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. He says we set it. We fix it firmly. It's just the opposite of abolishing the law. It is made firm through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, folks, if you have the idea that the moral law of God, as summarized in the Ten Commandments, is abolished in Christ, get rid of that thought, will you? It's not true. Paul is very emphatic again. We establish the law. And so in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15, the apostle is not talking about the abolishing of the Ten Commandments. He has something else in mind. While the Ten Commandments are not abolished, the ceremonial law of the Old Testament is for sure set aside, is for sure abolished. All of the Old Testament sacrifices, all of that Old Testament ceremony is for sure set aside. And I think this is what the apostle is talking about. Let's look at another text here. We read it just moments ago in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at what the apostle says here in Hebrews chapter 10 with regards to the Old Testament sacrifices, the ceremonial parts of the Old Testament law. I'd like you to look specifically at verses 5 and following in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. Now I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, and you follow along in whatever version you have. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, we're talking about Christ now. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come, in the roll of the book it is written of me, to do thy will. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings, and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not desired, nor hast thou taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. In other words, the writer to the Hebrews is ready to acknowledge, is he not, that these sacrifices are offered in accordance with the law. Moses received all the instructions from God on the mountain, and he passed them on to the people of Israel. In accordance with the law, these sacrifices are offered. Verse 9. On one side, these sacrifices are offered according to the law. But in verse 9 it says, then he said, behold, I have come to do thy will. He takes away the first. Why? In order to establish the second. He takes away the Old Testament sacrifices. The writer to the Hebrews says this very specifically. These are done away with. Christ does this. He takes away the first. Why does he do this? He does this in order to establish the second, that is, the will of God in his own sacrifice for sin. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for sin once for all. This he did. And when he established this second sacrifice, as the writer to the Hebrews puts it, he does away with all of that Old Testament ceremony, all of those Old Testament rites. Look at verses 10 and 11 in Hebrews chapter 10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. Those old sacrifices could never take away sin. But Jesus Christ came. He did away with those Old Testament sacrifices. He did away with all that ceremony. In him, all those sacrifices and all those ceremonies were fulfilled. Pictured they were. But when he came, praise God, they were fulfilled in him. And so they are no longer needed. He abolishes in his flesh the commandments given in ordinances. Let's go back now to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15. Because we have something else to see here. abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Now, Paul has something very specific in mind here. He's not only talking about the Old Testament system, the Old Testament ceremonies here, but he's talking about how those Old Testament sacrifices and ceremonies were embellished with the thoughts and the desires of men. And I think this is pretty important to grasp. It's not only those Old Testament sacrifices and ceremonies which were done away with, the law of commandments, but the law of commandments as contained in ordinances, as contained in decrees, as contained in dogmas. That's how we can translate what Paul has to say here. And Paul uses this word decrees, dogmas, ordinances, in a very interesting way. We're going to have to leave Ephesians again. Look at another text with me. Just leap forward to Colossians chapter 2. And then we go back to Ephesians. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 and following. Look at what Paul has to say here. Colossians chapter 2. He says, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees? There's the same word he uses in Ephesians. Why do you submit yourselves to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch? What's your problem, he says? If you have died with Christ, if you have really died with Christ, if you're a believer, why do you submit yourselves to these decrees, these dogmas? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. He says, what's the problem here? Now, I want you to notice what he's talking about. Look at verses 22 and 23. He says, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. Paul says, look, these decrees, these ordinances, these dogmas which have been built up, these all have to do with the teachings of men. This is not what God has said. Men have embellished the ceremonial law with all of these teachings, all of these dogmas. Verse 23, these are matters which have to be sure with appearance, with the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body. It says these things have to do with what? He says they're the teachings of men that have to do with man-made religion. He says, we're not talking about the Word of God here. We're talking about man-made religion. Things that have been made up by people. Paul is trying to drive home a point here. Look again at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15. Abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Paul is saying, you know, there are a lot of people out here who think they know what's best. But then along came the Pharisees, and they heaped on the Old Testament ceremonial laws all of these regulations, all of these ordinances. They made up all of these things. Man-made religion. And they said, by this man-made religion, you're going to have a place in heaven. It's not much different than what's done today. It really isn't. We're not to follow man-made religion, folks. We're not to follow the ordinances of men. We're to follow God. And we need to submit ourselves to the living God, not what not to that which people have to say. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I am not the infallible interpreter of Scripture. By that you should know, by this time you should know that this is the case. And so if you have a disagreement with what comes across this pulpit, you can let me know. I don't care. I won't be offended. But don't fight with me. Wrestle with the Word of God. It's not the ordinances of men that are important. It's the Word of God which is important. And folks, when you wrestle with the Word of God, things are going to happen in your life. Things are going to transpire in your life. God will begin to do a mighty work in your life when you wrestle with the Word of God. Christ came to abolish, He says, the law of commandments in ordinances. He came to abolish the religion of men and to establish the righteousness of Christ, His way. And so really what we're talking about here is something quite phenomenal. We're talking about the self-righteousness of works as opposed to the way of faith in Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Himself ran into this sort of thing when He walked in the world. Let's look at a classic example. A classic example. Jesus tells this parable in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. What a tremendous example He gives for us. In Luke 18, beginning with verse 9. Luke 18, beginning with verse 9. And He also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. You see, here's self-made religion, man-made religion. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer over here. Thank God I'm not like him over here. I fast twice a week. Boy, what a good fellow I am. I pay tithes of all that I get. That's the one side of the coin. And Jesus goes on, but the tax gatherer standing a distance away was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, God be merciful to me. And notice how he says it. God be merciful to me, the sinner. I'm the one, Lord. I'm the sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. The difference is between the world and those who humble themselves before the living God. In the world, there's built up man-made religion. People who say, well, I know what's right. After all, I've been good. I'm not like other people. Look at those people down there on Skid Row or whatever it is. Look at those people who live on the other. I'm sure I'm glad I'm not like them over there. Why, I go to church every Lord's Day. I put my check in the offering plate. You know, Lord, I'm pretty good. No. On the other side, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. People today are unwilling to say that they're sinners. People today are unwilling for the rule and the reign of Christ over their lives. And Jesus said very plainly that those people were at enmity with Him. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15. Christ abolishing in His flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. What does the Lord Jesus Christ abolish? Christ comes to abolish self-righteousness. He comes to abolish the religion of men and women. He does this by establishing His rule in the hearts of His people, by giving them new hearts. By giving them a new way of thinking. By giving them a new emotional makeup. I'm not sure we really appreciate enough the work of our God in giving people new hearts. Changing the emotional structure of a human life. That's the work of God. Changing their wills. A person cannot possibly see the kingdom of God without a new heart, without being born again, without thinking of Christ as Lord of all. What is the great confession of the Christian? Jesus is Lord. You must bow before Christ. You must see Him as Lord. And you must accept the sacrifice of the Lord of glory. Paul says, with regards to the Jews, if they would have understood Jesus, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And even on the cross, He was Lord of all. He was in control. And we must see Him as Lord. And we must bow before Him. You can't do that without a new heart. And without a new heart, you can't sense in your own being the weight of guilt for sin. To really bow before Christ, you must sense your sin. And you must flee to Christ as the only sacrifice for that sin. And then you must be willing to bow before Him. Thinking, feelings, and the will, all involved, giving a new heart. God does this through Christ. And folks, when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, He purchased for people like you and me the privilege of having a new heart. In His flesh, Paul says, He abolished the enmity, the law of commandments in ordinances. He did that. He purchased the privilege of receiving the Holy Spirit on the cross. Let me ask you a question. Has Jesus Christ destroyed the enmity, the self-made religion which is in you? Has He done that? Here's how you can tell. I like to do this. Give the examples of how you can tell what Christ has done. Are you self-serving? Are you like this Pharisee who said, "Hey, I'm glad I'm not like other people. I've got my own religion, Lord, and I'll make it my way. I'll do it my way," as the song says. If that's where you are this morning, you're on the wrong track. And I beg you, by the grace of Jesus Christ, to turn from self-made religion and walk in the way of this other individual, the tax gatherer, who said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." If that's on your heart, folks, this morning, you're saying to God, "Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner," you're on the right track. Praise the Lord that that's the case. The enmity between you and God has been broken by Jesus Christ. And you can rejoice in that. May God have mercy on every one of us here this morning. And may He, through the Lord Jesus Christ, abolish the enmity in our hearts. The law of commandments and ordinances, the self-righteousness and the self-made religion, that we will bow before Christ and serve Him. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank You for Your word. Thank You for every individual that's here this morning. Oh God, work in their hearts. Work in my heart. Abolish all self-made religion, all self-righteousness, and cause us by Your Holy Spirit, our God, to fall before You and cry out, "Oh, be merciful to me, the sinner." And draw us to Yourself, knowing that when that takes place, You have abolished the enmity which stands between us and brought us together. Free us each one in this way, Lord. And make us Your own, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.